Now we're in the middle of a series called, or we're finishing a series called Listen Up. Listen Up. I want to tell you a quick story. There were two brothers that were known for getting in trouble a lot. They're just known for getting in trouble a lot. They went to church, but they were constantly getting disciplined, constantly getting in trouble, constantly getting in trouble for taking things. They had a way of stealing, you know. They were part of that, you know, that gang, you know, that type of thing. And so they one day, one of the boys was walking by the pastor's office, and the pastor said, "Come on in here." And he went in there and he had him sit down. And he said to the young man, he says, "Where is God?" And the young man goes, just looked at him and he says, "I don't know." And he says, "Where's God? Where is he at?" And the young man just said, "Yeah, I don't know." And the third time he says, "Tell me where God is." And he got up, he was so scared, he got up and he ran out of the office, he ran all the way home, and he found his brother, and he says, "You know what, we're in big trouble." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean we're in big trouble?" He says, we're in big trouble. They've lost God, and they think we've taken him." Had to make up for last week. I won't be telling any blonde jokes for a while, by the way, after last week. I had enough blondes email me and say they were boycotting. that's a joke. I responded, "Do you know what that means?" I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm just joking. But now I'm serious. Now I'm being serious. Here's the last message in the series that God knows. How many believe that God knows? You believe that God knows? Like, God knows what you're going through right now. And some of you are going through some difficult times in your life, but God knows. God knows. And when you realize and you believe that God knows and you believe that God's a good father, then the stress has to go because you know God knows and he's going to take care of it. I don't need to send him a letter in the mail. I don't need to send him an email. I don't need to text them. God knows. And in this last message in the series, I want to talk about listening up. It's interesting that we would think we need to really do this because talk about this because he is the creator. But in the first part of this message, we talked about people. We talked about the importance of people in our life. Some of you have come up to me and really over this series, this short time, you've come up to me and said, "You know, I really stopped to wonder, you know, who am I listening to?" Because the theme for this message, the theme for this series is really this. It's what and who we listen to will influence what we do. What or who we listen to will influence what we do. What or who we listen to will influence what we do. This last week, someone was sharing with me that they were trying to figure out why they kept doing something in the relationship that they were doing. And during this series, they said they started thinking about who was influencing and who they were listening to and giving an audience to on a regular basis about relationships, and realized that unintentionally they had been listening to people that they would have intentionally never picked to listen to. Does that make sense? How often are we listening to people because we have not intentionally said, "These are the people that I will listen to that will influence my life"? How often have we ended up, because we're going to listen to something, we're going to listen to someone, found ourselves listening to people that if we were to stop and to consider it, we would say, I would never listen to them. But we're listening to them. How many times have we had regrets where we've regretted something and then you stop to think about the regrets and you can trace it back to the fact that you took the advice of someone that you knew didn't hear from God, someone that you knew never got a word from God, that didn't understand it, but you listened to them because in that moment you needed an answer and you didn't seem like you were getting any answer from God, so you just took any advice that you could find on that issue, and it ended up being bad advice, right? How many have been in that place? All of us have been at that place, right? We've all been at that place. That is why it's so important that we have three people in our life at any given time that know they have permission to speak into our life. You need someone older than you, someone wiser than you, someone that's there to say you're being a bonehead, right? Need someone your age that is where you're at in life and they're going through what you're going through in life and they can feel it, they can taste it, and they can say, we're gonna do this together, we're gonna make this together. But when you start to wander, they can be there to tug you back. And then you need someone younger than you to keep you young because there's just too many older people, right? How many, you need someone young in your life to keep you young in thought and mind, because you can get really, you know what you mean, you can get. You know, you start putting on the blinders and you watch Fox News all day. Right? I don't know if I did or not, but how many know you need someone younger, right? And if you're 96, there ain't anyone older. Who's influencing you today? You know, and the interesting thing is, and I asked this in the first service, how many in this room have actually been working on finding out, intentionally finding out who those three are? Raise your hand. Okay, so about not even half. Okay, here's the common problem with churches today. We'll listen to the message, but we don't respond to the message. If you do not have three people in your life, you are standing in a lightning storm with no protection. And you're thinking, boy, when the lightning strikes, then I'm going to go find three people. It's too late. You just got struck. You're a light bulb. Right? You need three people. And some, I'm not having three people. No way in the world I'm letting anybody speak into my life. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do. Right? How many of we all need people that speak into our life? So the first thing we talked about is you need people that have permission to speak into your life and to tell you you need to change something. And even though you may not agree in that moment, you listen to them because you know they're protecting you. Then you need to be that person that hears from God in the life of someone else. Because if everyone's looking for three and no one's being a three, you won't have anyone to be the three, and you'll never find the one in your three that you need in your three. Right? Are you there this morning? Then fake laugh or do something. And you say amen or do something, right? Okay? Okay, thank you. And then last week we talked about wisdom and how important wisdom was, and that wisdom was a woman. Can I tell you, I took a bullet for you. That's all I got to say. I preached that woman, that women, wisdom is a woman, and all week long my wife's been saying, you know, this is the voice of wisdom. And I'm like, I think we need to do this. And she's like, you know, the voice of wisdom, it's a woman, James. You remember that. I took a bullet for you, and I'm having to pay the price. You better do something with that, right? So the importance of wisdom in our life and having wisdom. And today, I want to talk about listening up, that God knows, and experiencing God. Because, you know, many of us, we wonder if God speaks. Some would say that you really wanted to hear from God, but you just don't feel like he speaks to you. Or some of you would say, I just don't feel like he speaks anymore. Like he spoke in the past, but he doesn't speak today. He's not speaking to anyone today. And you know, there's some people that have ruined that. How many have ever met there's some people that you think they hear from God every single day? Right? You're like, I wonder if they got like a bat phone in their house or something, like God calls them on or something, because they're constantly hearing from God, and it's just crazy stuff. Sometimes people, it's like craziness. They think they've heard from God, and maybe they need to be checked. I don't know. But God does speak today. He does speak to his kids. Maybe not as often as some people says he does, but he speaks to people. And I'm going to give you a few ways that he does that. You know, the interesting thing is, you've ever had, like, people say, well, God told me this, right? And it's interesting because whenever someone says that God told you that, then it can never be argued with. Okay, if you're part of someone's three and that person says, well, God told me this, then you say you didn't hear from God if you're part of the three. If you know you heard that God spoke and that's not right, don't be pushed away by the statement, well, God spoke to me. Does that make sense? Are you confused? Okay. If you're a part of someone's three, you're the three of someone, and I expect that all of you will be, and that person tries to push you away by saying, this is what God spoke to me about, but it is absolutely not only unbiblical, but you know for a fact it's not from God. Don't allow them saying, this is God speaking to me, to keep you from saying, that is not God speaking to you. Now, does it make sense? But you need to be in someone's three. So you need to hear from God so that you can boldly say that. Right? Okay, because I'll leave that. I'm going to go to that. There are some traditional viewpoints and how God hears, how you can hear the voice of God. I want to go through seven traditional viewpoints extremely quickly. I'm going to go through these seven ways that you can hear from God, because that's not the point of this morning's message. There's a point I'm going to get across to you quickly, but I'm going to give you seven views. Here's the first one. Nature. God can speak through nature. How many have ever gone out into like the woods? I encourage staff to take a trip to go out up to this Catholic area where they have all of this land and just walk around in nature, because when you get away, how many of know when you can get away and you get nature and you get that you can hear from God, right? That there's, when you go up there and you start walking away, it's just like you hear from God. There's something about it. You know, I was just out in Lakeville. There's this lake where nobody was on it, and I was out fishing, just throwing a line in the water because I ain't gonna catch anything. And it's standing there, and all you heard was the crickets and that bird that does the woo-woo, you know, whatever that is. You all know what I'm talking about, right? That bird. And there was something very peaceful about it. And you just, there's something where you just begin to talk to God. And so you can begin to hear God in nature. Psalms 19:1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Romans 1 says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have all been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That God can be seen is seen through nature. And just a side note, can I give you a faith fact, interesting fact? You know, there's an argument that evolution is a reality, that because the world is 200,000 years old, that their carbon testing is 250,000 years, so the world must be 250,000 years old. Well, I was meeting with a pastor who specializes in creation. He made an interesting, very simple, interesting point. You want to hear it? He said, how old was Adam and Eve when they were born? They were created adults. They didn't evolve to adulthood. They didn't grow to adulthood. They were created adults. They were created old. Does that make sense? How hard is it for God to create an earth that's already 150,000 years old? How hard would it be for God to create a sun that's already millions of years old? It wouldn't. He created the sun old. He created the earth old. Now, how simple is that? It didn't start from nothing and then grow old, right? Adam didn't start as a baby and grow old. He was created old. I mean, that's a powerful thing. You should say, wow, that's really, okay. Here's the second thing, way God sees people. God speaks to us through people. And there are people in our life that when maybe you're praying and fasting and you're not hearing anything from God or you're not getting anything, and then God sends a person and that person says something that directly speaks to what you were asking about. And so God sends people in our life to speak to us about something. When I came here, when the Lord spoke to me about coming to Minnesota from Michigan, I went out. They asked me to come and interview here, and I went to a place called Stillwater in Michigan, and it's out in the It's just out in the woods, out somewhere in Michigan. And I went in and I began to fast and pray. And I'm asking God, should I move my family to Minnesota where it's freezing? Will we freeze there? And I'm asking God all about whether or not I should come to Minnesota. And God doesn't say a word to me all day long, right? I wasted a whole day and God doesn't speak to me at all. Right, I'm laying on prostrate on the ground because that's what Solomon did. You know, I'm prostrate. And then Dave, and my grandfather used to kneel, so I thought maybe God will speak to me if I kneel, you know, at a rocking chair, because that's, you know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Like you try, maybe if I lay on my side, or maybe Ezekiel laid on his side, you know, and I'm going to do all these hundreds of different things and I'll try to get God to speak. Like I'm going to, maybe I'll go walk by, I'm going to throw a rock in the water, maybe it'll come back as a fish, I don't know, but God, speak to me, right? At the end of the day, I had to leave because we were meeting with this couple that night. And the Lord says this very clearly to me. He said, tonight, you will get your answer. I'm like, you could have told me that at 9:15 today. It's now like 5 o'clock, right? And I got to go back. You know, now you're telling me you could have told me that earlier. So we go. There was a couple we were meeting with for dinner that night. And we got in a car, and they said, hello. And the first thing out of her mouth was, the Lord says that you're going to be leaving. Wow. Ruined the rest of my night. Right? And now I'm sitting there thinking, the Lord spoke to me because it was just the voice of God, God speaking. It wasn't her speaking. It was God speaking to me through her voice. It just sounded like her. God uses people to speak in our life. Do you need to judge it? Sure you do. But most of the time, it's not hard to judge it because it is so obvious when someone does that. Okay, here's the next one, wisdom. We talked about this last week, that God speaks to us through wisdom. And the next one is number four. The fourth thing is conscience. Usually conscience deals with what is right and wrong. It addresses what's right and wrong. It's God's way of speaking to you about what's right and wrong. Most people know when something's wrong. You know, when somebody says, well, I didn't know it was wrong. You know, Satan made me do it. They know what's right and wrong. Most people do. The fifth thing is scripture. Scripture speaks of the word of God. Now, how many times have we heard a scripture that just really spoke to an issue in our life? In fact, most people try to seek scripture to try to find out what God's saying. The next one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, but the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So when the Holy Spirit, he really speaks to what you should do, where the conscience is saying, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't be there. The Holy Spirit, where the conscience speaks to what you should, the Holy Spirit really directs you, you should go over there and this is what you should do. And it's a whisper. It is not loud. It is not demanding. It is not controlling. And it is certainly not so overwhelming that you can't handle it. You have free will. And the Holy Spirit only speaks to you in your free will for you to choose to do and to line up with what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. So it is, you should go tell that person how much God loves them. You should go give that person a hug. You should, and here's the thing. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, the voice that comes afterwards that says, what were you thinking, you loser? You should be ashamed of yourself. And that voice that condemns you is not the Holy Spirit. It is the enemy speaking to you, trying to bring condemnation, shame, and guilt into your life. And you need to recognize it for what it is. The Holy Spirit only is trying to shift you to do the will of God in things and situations, but it doesn't sit there and beat you up when you don't do it. Somebody should say praise the Lord on that one. Because you haven't listened to some of the things. Like the Holy Spirit told you to go over to that person and to do something like roll three times on the floor, take a big drink of water, and then go over and hug them. You know. Here's the last one. Here's the last one. Audible voice. Right? Audible voice. I've only heard the audible voice of God one time. I heard it at a champions retreat. And I know it was the audible voice of God because I wasn't the only one who heard it. I heard it, the person next to me heard it, who is our prayer pastor, and then one other person heard it very clearly that I talked to, and when we did what the voice said, there were a number of miracles that took place when he said, and it was simply this. God said, ask whatever. Ask whatever. And we did. And God did. Whatever. Okay? And so there is an audible voice of God. It happens. It happened in the Bible. It happens today. We hear the voice of God. But think about what would happen if God spoke audibly a lot. That would freak you out. I mean, think about Samuel, right? Here's this little kid that hears this voice in the middle of the night, right? And you hear the voice of God, and my dad, so when we were kids growing up, we did this thing that was somewhat of a revelation. It was is remarkable. It's one of those things. We actually shut the TV off, right? You at 8 o'clock, during the week, when we were kids growing up, my dad would go to the TV, and he did this. I know it'll shock you, but he would shut the television off, right? We had just watched, like, it was right after Dukes of Hazzard, right? Or Knight Rider, or A-Team, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. And then it was over, and it was, you know, and they shut the TV off, and then we'd all gather around. My dad would pull out the Bible, and then he would tell us a Bible story. And remember, there's five of us kids, and then when we were done, we'd pray, and we'd all pray out loud, and then we'd go to bed. And it was one of the reasons why it's never been a problem to pray out loud with people, is because we were taught from little kids to do it, how to pray out loud with people around. And my dad tells the story of Samuel, and God speaks to him in the middle of the night. And he speaks to him in the middle of the night. And then he goes to Eli, and he says, Eli, what do you want? Because he thought it was Eli speaking, and it wasn't. And he says, I didn't speak to you. And Samuel goes back to sleep. A voice wakes him up, and he goes, Eli, what do you want? And he says, I didn't speak to you. And he does it one more time. That happens. And finally, Eli realizes that he's hearing the voice of God, an audible voice of God, waking him up in the middle of the night. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now go to bed, kids. The one thing you're praying is, God, please don't speak to me in the middle of the night. Like, I don't want to hear an audible voice of God when I'm sleeping. That'll freak you out. Right? When they heard the voice of God on the mountain of Sinai, all the Israelites began to bow on their ground. I mean, they were freaked out, and they were adults. Right? God still does speak audibly. It's just not all the time. Now, this is great, but it's not what I want to talk about today, because the real issue I want to talk about, it's not about getting God to speak. Rather, it's being in the position to listen. And this may shock you, but even in that place in Stillwater, when I'm laying on the ground prostrate, on my back, on my side, on my knees, standing up, walking around, doing the black back float in the water, whatever it is you're trying to do, God is speaking. He's never stopped speaking. He's never stopped moving. The real issue is many times we're not in a posture, we're not in a position to hear him speak. We're not ready to hear him speak. It's not that God is hesitant to speak, it's that we're resistant to listen. Let me say that again. It's not that God is hesitant to speak, it's that we're resistant to listen to what God has to say. Here's a statement you've heard many times. He that has ears, let him hear. Jesus often said that after parables. He would tell some great parable to these people he knew were rebelling against what he had to say. He knew a lot of the questions. In fact, many of the parables that Jesus gave were given because the Pharisees of that day were trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to get, they saw him only as a rabbi. They saw him only as a great teacher. And so what they were trying to do is they were trying to show the people that all he was just like another rabbi, and that even Jesus had to learn. And so they would construct and build these questions that they would ask Jesus that would surely stump him. And they would come with this attitude and mindset not to hear what Jesus had to say. They would come with the mindset to try to trap Jesus. And when it would fail, they wouldn't listen to his response. They would leave. They wouldn't process his response because they weren't there to try to find out something. They were there to try to trap him. right? And so he makes this statement, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. At the end of these parables, what he's saying is, some of you were only here to trap me, but what I'm going to show you is a kingdom principle that will set you free if you understand this. And if you have ears for that, you're going to hear what I'm about to tell you. The truth is, that's the same truth with us. If you have ears to hear, you will hear what the Holy Spirit has to tell you. You see, everybody in here is listening to the same message, but only those with the ears to hear will walk away with the truth. Now look at this, Mark 12, something I noticed, that this was happening again. Pharisees came to try to trap Jesus, and they asked him this, they set up this scenario, this hypothetical situation, and this is what it said. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no children. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? Now, to me, that's a dumb question, right? I think the question should have been, was, why did the seventh brother marry her in the first place? I mean, I just saw six of my brothers die. Why would I marry her? I'm going to be dead. It's a death sentence, right? That's the question they should have asked. Like, what was she doing to him? I mean, was arsenic around? I mean, like, what was happening in that time? But they set this whole thing. It's like Samson. There's some things in the Bible, you're like, they must have been just like dumb as a box of rocks. He kills 1,500 men with a jawbone of a donkey, right? What was the 1,500th man thinking? He just killed 1,499 men. Was he thinking, well, I'm going to be the one? Like, I would have been running. Okay, that's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny. So here Jesus answers their question with this profound response. He answers the Pharisees with this profound response. And all of the Pharisees that were there to trap him were like, fine, we didn't get him. We tried, we struck out. Now we got to find another way to try to trap him. But Jesus, there's a man that heard what Jesus, when Jesus responded to their question, this man was listening to what he had ears to hear. Where everyone else didn't have ears to hear, this man had ears to hear, and he asked Jesus another question based on what he learned from the first. You with me? And at the end of it, Jesus makes this response. He says, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God because you have ears to hear. See, here's what happens. We approach God with a mindset, a belief system. We approach God because our parents have taught us something growing up, sometimes correct, sometimes not correct. And we approach the Word of God. We approach God with our predetermined theologies of God, which means study of God, perception of God. We approach him with those predetermined things that when we go to God, we ask questions that are based on what we believed before but have nothing to do with God. And when God answers our questions, we say that can't be true because it doesn't line up with my belief of him. Rather than having ears to hear and allowing God to change the way I see him. Right? We do it all the time. Do you know every one of us in here are prejudiced? We all are. We all predetermine, prejudge people, no matter who they are, before we ever talk to them, just based on the characteristics that we have been told by other people about that person or by things we've had in other experiences. The other experiences we have will prejudge people in our life. So whenever you approach something, someone, you already have predetermined or prejudged what to expect when you communicate with them, right? And you've already skewed that relationship from the very beginning. We do the same thing with God. The exact same thing. Where God says, I want you to just begin to, he has to peel away all of those perceptions of him before he can ever get to your clear mind where he can rebuild the way you see him, the way you hear him, the way you listen to him. Right? Here's an example. You don't do your devotions in the morning. and you go outside and you got a flat tire, and you go, God, okay, God, you got me. You got me. Yeah, I didn't do my devotions, and I had a flat tire this morning. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? Like, God punishes you because you didn't do something, and then we blame, and God's sitting there going, but I didn't do that. Actually, you rode over a nail when you rode in because you, the where it said road construction, do not enter, you went through there anyway, and you got a nail in there, and then you, so really, it wasn't me. I'm God, but really, it wasn't me. I have nothing against your tires. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. And so we predetermine, when we listen to God, we predetermine whether God's going to, based on things, rather than just saying, okay, God, I'm here. What it is, what do you want to say? So what is our posture in listening to this? Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel is going to show us something that's very important, because what keeps us from having ears to hear? There's something very powerful in this, and every one of us in this room struggles with this. Every one of us struggles with this. Here it is. Son of man, because Jesus is quoting ears to hear from Ezekiel. He says, son of man, you are living among what? Rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but they're not seeing. They have ears to hear, but they do not hear. For they are a rebellious people. Can I just encourage you today, you're rebellious. I just want to lift you up in that and encourage you that you have a rebelliousness about you. There's just some, how many feel good? You just say, praise the Lord, right? I mean, we don't like that. That doesn't feel good. But how many know that there is a rebellious thing that can work in our life, right? We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. I don't want someone in my life. Sure, I'm all for the three as long as they keep their mouth shut. I'll have three in my life as long as they don't say anything and I can do whatever it is I want to do, then I'm okay with three. But the moment they speak up, they're going to get me worked up and I'm going to just come right at them. Right? Those who have ears to hear will not have ears to hear if they have rebellion working in their life. Here's an example of that, and I'm going to give you an analogy, because brokenness is realizing that I will not go to heaven by my own works and effort and who I am. Brokenness is realizing I'm broken and I cannot bring life into my life, so I need a Savior. I'm broken. And he put, so when you have brokenness, brokenness is the answer. It's at that place where you realize, I'm not, anyone perfect in here? Because we're going to hang you out back, because we don't want any perfect people in this church. We need just flawed people in here, right? Any flawed people in here? Someone say amen, praise the Lord, I'm flawed. Because in your weakness, he is strong, right? And that's why we're transparent about why we're weak, because we're all weak. Right? But there's a rebellion, and the rebellion says that, God, I don't need you in this area of my life. I can do it on my own. And this is what we do. Here's an analogy. Have you ever been on a beach? Right? Some of you have, maybe. Heather and I love to walk the beach. When we go to Mexico, we love to walk on the beach. And when we do, the wind will blow, and sometimes the wind will be at your back, sometimes in your face. Well, what you'll notice when you're walking and the wind's at your back and you're walking with the wind at your back, you don't notice the breeze because it's at your back. When you're walking, you really, it's hot, you start to sweat, and you're walking with your back, you don't notice it. You don't even know the breeze is there. You don't know what's happening. And then when you get to the spot where you turn around, which is usually the spot where Heather said 10 times we should turn around, and then we turn around, right? Because it would go, she says that, and then we turn around, right? And then we turn around, and the moment you turn around, you feel the breeze, and you realize the breeze was there the whole time, right? Same way it is with God. We're walking through life. The voice of God is there. He's speaking, but our back is turned toward it. We're in rebellion in an area of our life, and we're thinking, God, I don't hear your voice. Why aren't you speaking to me? God, why aren't you saying something? God, where are you at? What are you doing? God, and it's because we're in rebellion. God has already spoken his will, and we've determined that we're going to do it our way, and we want God to give us advice and our way of doing things. So what we're saying is, I'm going to do what I want. God, there's a scripture here in Matthew 6. This it comes, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, our will be done. There was a misprint in some Bibles. Maybe you got one of those Bibles. They missed the Y in it. And so if you've been living your life, our will be done, it's an honest mistake. You know, Zondervan messed up. But actually, there's a Y on it. And so I know this might be disappointing to you, but it's not our will be done. It's your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. He is either Lord of all or he's not Lord. He's either king of all or he's not king at all. He's either sitting on your throne or he's not sitting on your throne. He's either calling the shots or he's not calling the shots. There is no 75% or gray area with a king, right? So when God's speaking to you, we've decided that we're going to do our will, and all of a sudden our will isn't working, and we stop and say, God, I need a word from you for my decision. And God, keep it only. I know what you said, God, but I want you to bless my rebellion. I want you to speak into my rebellion. That's like Jonah on the ship going to Tarshish and saying, God, I know you wanted me to go to Nineveh, but I'm on my way to Tarshish, and I've always wanted to kind of beach and summer there, and that's why I'm going there, God, and my will. So will you bless this ship and keep us from crashing? How many know God has never changed? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and your Testament. He is the same to every person. Amen? And that God said, you chose your way, you took your own will, you made your own, took your own advice, and now you're sitting in this situation, now you're walking through it. His back was turned to God. It wasn't until Jonah turned his face toward God that God began speaking to him. We want God to bless our decision. God, I know you want to talk to me about something, but only talk to me about this matter. Leave the rest alone. I only want to hear you about this thing. I don't want to talk about anything else, right? When I went to that house to pray about coming here, I said, God, I only want to talk about this thing. I didn't want to talk to him about anything else. So what did I not hear from God? What was on his agenda that I missed? What am I not hearing from God that he wants to talk to me? The creator of the universe has points that he wants to talk to you about, and we often limit him only to the things we want to talk about, because when we pray, we don't shut up. Right? We just have so many words, you just don't stop to listen. So you're walking, and isn't it interesting when you finally realize, I'm in rebellion. You turn and you look at God, and all of a sudden you realize he's been speaking. Man, he speaks to me all the time. He's speaking about through this and through that, and God's always speaking to me. Why? He's been speaking that way the whole time. It's just that your position changed. Your posture changed. Do you know Abraham, the father of Israel, the father of us, that we're engrafted in the vine of Israel? That's what the Bible says. Do you know God stopped talking to Abraham? That God did not want Lot with Abraham. Lot is the reason, Lot and Sarah, the reason they ended up in Egypt in the first place. It's the reason they brought back Hagar. It's the reason he did this thing with Hagar. And the reason we have the Islamic faith today is because of Hagar. And God didn't speak to him, because Abraham was going to do his will. You know, it's great. The moment Abraham said, Lot, take your pick, and Lot picked the better plot of land, better area. Abraham went to his land, and God said, Abraham spoke to him and said, go up here, I want to show you something. And it was the first time that God spoke to Abraham is when he turned his face back to God and obeyed the will of God. Some of you, know you're walking out of the will of God. You just know it. It is harder to walk against God than it is toward him. There is a gravity in God that pulls you to him. And when you begin to turn your face toward him, it will be, the Bible says his burden is light. It compels you. It pulls you. The walk is so much, it's not easy, but it's so much more clear. So much more clear. But we have to turn our back or turn our face toward God. How many have ever heard of Jim and Tammy Baker? They actually went to North Central Bible College, it was at the time. And Jim wrote a book. You remember PTL? How many remember? Wave at me if you remember what it is. They wrote a book. Jim Baker wrote a book called I Was Wrong. And that was the name of the book. It said, I Was Wrong. He was a television preacher. He was on TV all the time, every Sunday night. They had kids programs. They had all this stuff. He wrote this book. In this book, this is essentially what he said in the book. He said, when I went to prison and had nothing, I was no longer a person of influence and power, now having to get in line with everyone else. When I was broken, I began to read the Bible and realized I had never really understood what the Bible meant. So he enrolled in Bible courses in the prison. And he said this, I began to understand what the Bible really said. And here is a guy that was preaching to thousands, millions of people around the world. And after everything fell apart, he said, I finally realized what the Bible was actually saying. There are all kinds of people preaching stuff they don't understand. Maybe there are people like that in this room. Because you haven't stopped to listen. You've heard there's a room full of people, but do you have ears to hear? In your mind, as even I'm preaching today, are you getting more questions? Wow, I got more questions now. Holy Spirit, you've been speaking. There are more questions that I have because you've had ears to hear. You've heard what he said. This is what God's asking you to do. He wants you to give God a blank check of your life. He wants you to give God the blank check of your life. He wants you to say, Jesus says, when you pray, you're supposed to give God a blank check. Thy will be done. God, here's my life. Here's my marriage. Here's my money. You do with it whatever you want. I'll do marriage. God, you do with my marriage whatever you want. You do with my relationships whatever you want. You do with my life whatever you want. But you leave my money alone. No, he's saying, you do whatever you want with my money, whatever you want with my future, whatever you want with my work, whatever you want with my career, whatever you want with my plans, God, everything that I have, every breath that I take, I give it to you. I give it to you. It is yours. I give you everything. See, that's what salvation is. Salvation is not just it's a trade-off. You're taking your brokenness, you're taking your emptiness, you're taking everything in your life and saying, God, I give it to you. We are now one. When Jesus said, I give you everything of heaven and earth, I'm giving it to you. Everything that is Christ, I'm giving it to you. It's like a marriage. Everything that I had became Heather's. And everything Heather had became mine. We became one flesh. That principle was given by God, and it's the same principle that happens when we invite Jesus in our life. We become one flesh. Christ enters us, and we become one flesh with Christ. You're one with him. Everything you have is his. And God, it's a blank check. What are you going to do with it? I'm excited to see what the creator of the universe is going to do with my life. No, God, I'm not going on a missions trip. No, 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 no. No way in the world am I going there. I might have to sleep on a bamboo mat. I might have to hold a snake. No way am I doing that. Look at this. I don't think the king gives advice to people who have not opened their lives up to his input in every area of their life. What I want to encourage you to do, and we're going to end there, and I'm going to have prayer workers come up right now. They're going to come stand up here. There's a psalm that says this, Psalms 46:10. It says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I'm God. God knows, but do you know? Hear this. God knows, but do you know? God knows. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're facing. God knows. But do you know that He's God? He's King, He's Lord, that He has all authority, that there isn't anything in this planet that has more authority than God. Do you know that? Do you know He sits on the highest throne? He doesn't look up at anyone. He doesn't look to the side to anyone. God is God. And He's wanting you to turn your face toward God. Maybe today, you've been trying to make your own decisions. You know what God's will is. You know what He wants. You don't want to do that, and so you've been ignoring God. Maybe today's the day you turn your face back to Him so you can hear His voice. Will you bow your head?